you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. John chapter 15. Y'all don't have to turn there. Just stay at John chapter 1 because I'm going to read a good bit of it. But in John chapter 15, 22, Jesus said something I want to use for the start of my sermon. He said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, then they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak, no excuse for their sin. Galatians 4:4 said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. God came to this world, first of all, to let us know there was sin and that he was the antidote. And then when the fullness of time had come, he came to redeem us unto himself, that we might then be called what? The sons of God. Paul said it this way, I've not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, my Father, which art in heaven. Amen. Praise God. I'm not preaching yet. I'm still laying a foundation. In the words of someone, I'm going somewhere. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in verse 10 it said, for he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. For he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the 16th verse, he said, in his fullness have all we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elias? And they saith, I am not. Or art thou prophet? And he answered, no. They said to him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What mayest thou? What sayest thou thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which went were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou not be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet? John answered them, saying, I am baptized with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch, move, and minister with the power of your divine grace. For we believe and we trust in you for everything we're going to receive from you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. I want you to look over at your neighbor, look him right in the eye and say, if he had not come, where would we be? There's an old chorus they used to sing that said, if it had not been for the Lord by my side, where would I be? Where would I be? Oh, church, y'all got to realize without the presence of God, the fact that this little baby came, we'd have a problem on our hands. We would have trouble. Amen. The Bible tells me that he even made the statement, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have never known where they were. But because I came now and I have talked to them and I begin to teach them, they no longer have an excuse. Amen. What he was saying was there was a time when man didn't know better. There was a time when man didn't know things were wrong. But he said, those days are over now. I remember reading where one man came to him and said, let me go tell my brothers, let me go tell my sisters about this awful place. He said, unless they hear the word and the prophets and believe, they will not be saved. Because even if one from the dead came and talked to them, they still wouldn't believe. You know, the truth of the matter is, church, we have people say they've seen ghosts and they get all scared and bothered by them. But the truth of the matter is, I don't believe there is such a thing as ghosts. They're disembodied spirits, but they're not ghosts. 9 times out of 10, you see a ghost, it is a demon spirit trying to get your attention away from God. And if you pray through, you can forget about it. And young folks, ain't no such thing as vampires. Ain't no such thing as zombies. You don't have to have special bullets to kill them. They're not taking over the world. They don't exist. They're not there. Hello? Come on, church. I got some adults going, when I seen the movie. The only place that stuff exists is in the mental mind of some idiot who sells it to you. We wouldn't have to be scared if we didn't put all this junk in our brain. Do you realize that most everything that bothers us in our brain is something we taught ourselves? You ever notice kids ain't scared of nothing? They'll pick up bugs and play with them until their mom and dad tells them they're not supposed to. Then they get scared of them. Hello? I'm glad I had a mom and dad didn't tell me to be scared of stuff. They taught me how to kill it. They didn't say, don't be afraid of it, just kill it. Glory. Hello? But the reality is we live in a world where we're being taught about all this stuff that's going on. But I want you to notice something. He gave a promise that something was coming. Amen. You know, when we think about all this that we've read, we realize that the Messiah has come. Amen. Listen, I want to talk to you for just a moment, talk about the meaning of fully come. He said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Now, I want you to notice something. In Genesis chapter 3 and 15, the Bible said, I'll put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. Now, God made a prophecy in Genesis 3:15 that was actually fulfilled in Galatians 4 and 4, when the fullness of time had come. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? God said, it's time. I've waited long enough. I'm sending my son, and he is going to be the seed of a woman. Amen. Glory. Why? Because I'm going to fulfill Genesis 3. Amen. Y'all remember the movie that came out, about Christ a couple of years ago? Amen. The compassion of Christ, the passions of Christ. We rented a movie theater and went and watched it. And it was, everybody in there was Christians except for those that some people brought that wasn't Christians. And we had a bunch of folks got saved that night. There was a bunch of folks from the Methodist Church, Church of God, different ones there. And I'll never forget this young man sitting behind me, and he's one of them gets real excited. He's a Methodist pastor named Mitch Netherly, and Mitch is wild. He's Pentecostal. He and I have done several camp meetings together, and you never know what he's going to preach on. I mean, he's worse than I am. Glory. And he's up there, and all of a sudden, Jesus is praying. And I don't know if y'all remember the movie, but the snake got to crawling over by him while he was praying. And he's down praying. That snake's bothering him while he's praying. About that time, he stands up and he looks to heaven and said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Mitch like to left the theater. He gets all excited. I said, what? He said, Genesis 3:15. His heel shall bruise his head. And all of a sudden, not even thinking about it, they fulfilled a prophecy. That guy picked his foot up, just stomped that snake's head, and he was going right on. Amen. I thought that meth is going to go crazy. Amen. I wish Church of God folks get that excited sometime. Amen. Glory. But now, church, notice something. That was a fulfillment of that. Genesis chapter 12, it said, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? The greatest blessing could ever be given to all the people of the world was that out of that family was going to come a son, a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, who was going to be laying in a manger, who in his grace was going to be able to bring peace on this earth. joy and goodwill to everybody that would believe in him. And that, my friend, is a fulfillment of the God's prophecy to Abraham. I'm going to send somebody through your family that's going to bless the whole world. And whosoever believeth in him, whether they be Jew, whether they be Gentile, whether they be Muslim, whether they be Buddhist, whoever it is, when they believe on Jesus Christ, they have a right to eternal life. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis chapter 49:10. For the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Amen. The prophecy of God's still going on. There's going to be somebody in your family that's going to reign forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And that's a long time. Glory. Hello? Amen. He said the scepter's not ever going to leave that house. And all of a sudden you've got a man who reigns and he dies, but he comes back from the dead and he's going to live forever. Could you say amen? But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, thou that be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old even to everlasting. Amen. So God has given us a foretelling that he's coming and where he's going to be born. Amen. Glory. The book of Daniel chapter 9. And I get so tickled. People talk about, oh, we don't want to get in that book. It's just got so much mystery. I had somebody tell me, said, y'all teach Revelation. It's got mystery. No, it don't. The biggest mystery you got is when them folks start trying to tell you what they believe instead of reading the book. Hello? Read the book. It's pretty much self-explanatory. You might dig a little bit, but you can find some juice in that orange if you'll squeeze it. Amen. But he talks about the 70 weeks determined unto the Jews. And do you realize that if you peel down the weeks that were coming forth, you'll find out that when Jesus was born, it was the perfect timing. It was just according to those 70 weeks to work right into the right place. That every generation you read Matthew chapter 1, you'll find there were so many generations and something happened, so many generations, something else happened. And at right moment, Jesus Christ come along with a generation to fulfill it. You see, what I'm saying is God understands what his law is. He understands what his prophecy are. He knows how to make everything go. Do you realize that of all the prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah, according to statistical science, it is one in 17 trillion chances that someone could fulfill a few of those. Now get an idea. You'd have a better chance of throwing a bunch of silver dollars out on Texas, marking one of them and flying over and throwing you out the plane, letting you parachute down and land and pick up one of that one you marked. You'd have a better chance of that happening than anybody fulfilling just a few of the prophecies of the Messiah. But do you realize that when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible said he was sitting there and he suddenly began to run through the scriptures in his mind, and suddenly he realized, I've done it. And he said, it's finished, it's conquered, it's taken care of, because he went through the Old Testament. And do you realize that in his life, Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of the prophecies of the Old Testament that was for him? Amen. I somewhere in my stuff back there, I've got a little Jewish Bible that they give out to Jews, and it's got the Old Testament prophecies highlighted and the New Testament scripture beside it where Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. And every prophecy in the Old Testament was fulfilled by this young man Jesus. Amen. And when he came to the world, he was a full fulfillment of what God intended to have happen in this world. Amen. And listen to what Isaiah said: unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. Amen. And listen to this: and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Glory. So before he ever got here, they were talking about him. Amen. First of all, let's show something, church. God prepared the world for his coming. Romans chapter 8, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Notice, when Jesus came, it was a period of international peace. Wasn't a lot of war going on. The Romans pretty much had everything under control. It was a time of religious ferment. Very few people were arguing religious beliefs. The Jews were allowed to keep being Jews as long as they didn't go against Roman law. Hello? The pagans were allowed to be pagans as long as they didn't go against Roman law. You pretty much could do what you wanted to. But now also, it was an era of moral decline. So I said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" You ever notice how that kind of matches up now? You know, everybody talking about, well, there ain't a lot of war going on compared to how many countries in the world. There's very few of them actually involved in a war. Hello? As far as religion is concerned, as long as we are politically correct, nobody cares if we have our religion. Just don't push it on me. They can push it on us, but we can't push it on them. Hello? They can have their holidays and we have to observe them, but if we have our holidays, we can't observe them the way we used to. But if you ever notice something that really sets this place to act like the day Jesus came, the moral decline of a world. I don't know if y'all have ever read or heard about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, but one of the things that tore the Roman Empire up was the moral decay of that country from the inside. It ate itself up like a cancer. Can I tell you the moral decay of our world is to the point now where billions of dollars are spent every year on porn? Huh? We've got people, they just soon take your money and get out and work and make some. Hello? Identity theft becoming the number one thing in the world. And let's face it, church, that's going to lead to the use of someone being able to fix it so you won't have to have credit cards and stuff like that. And let's face it, y'all can sit there and go, why not preach what you're talking about? That RFID chip is going to become a reality very long. And they're going to say, look, you use this. Nobody can steal your identity. Nobody can steal your kids. I mean, we had people in Florida who have Alzheimer's that their families had that chip put in them so they couldn't get lost. Amen. You say, well, they're not doing that. They're doing it in Alabama to your dogs and cats so they can't get lost. Come on down. We'll give them a chip. And it ain't Lay's. And they can't get lost. There were thousands of children in Florida were embedded with a chip at their parents' beckoning because they were told they could never get lost as long as they got that chip. We're living in a world where we're moving fastly to the fulfillment of everything this book talked about. And though we know more to look for, this bunch was just riding along like everything was fine, and suddenly fulfillment started happening because the fullness of time came. Amen. And suddenly God became the Word, and the Word became God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was the age of full prophetic fulfillment. If Christ had not come, the promise of God would be unfulfilled. If Christ had not come, the world would still be in the darkness. If Christ had not come, there would be no bridge across the gulf of sin. If Christ had not come, we would not know that God is love. If Christ had not come, there would be no gospel to believe. If Christ had not come, there would be no Christmas or Easter. If Christ had not come, there would be no hope beyond the grave. If Christ had not come, we would still be lost and there'd be no Savior for our sins. If Christ had not come, there would be no good news to preach to a nation of people who are lost and dying on their way to hell. But Christ did come, and Christ did pay the price, and Christ did come forth from the grave. Could you say amen? Paul said, hey, we are of all men most miserable if we preach the gospel to you, and it's true that Christ is not risen. Glory. He had some of his Pharisee buddies talking to him, and you know, they believed in the resurrection, but that other group, the Sadducees, didn't. And they didn't believe there's a resurrection while he's teaching us, and there's no such thing as a resurrection. He can't be alive. And he said, you know, if we preach Christ be risen and he's not risen, then we are of all men, we are false witnesses, and we all have no hope.
But he said, now is Christ risen from the grave and become the first fruit of them that will be resurrected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He basically slapped his buddies in the face and said, look, I know y'all sad, you see, because you don't believe in a resurrection. But you need to get happy because there's one coming. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. Look, in Luke, listen what they told him. Those angels didn't come down and say, okay, we're going to start a new religious movement. They say, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Hallelujah. He's coming. Amen. He's Christ the Lord. Could you say amen? This is a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let me tell you something, church. The English language is the only one you'll find in the Bible where it says swaddling clothes. I'm preaching in Honduras and I'm wearing it out. And I've got Christ with swaddling clothes, and this poor little girl that's actually in med school, fairly intelligent little girl, she's looking at me and I'm looking at her and she's looking at me. And I kept telling her, if you don't understand, just say so. And she didn't want to say so. And I'm standing there and Silas is not golden. I got people looking at us. They're trying to figure out what I said. She's trying to figure out what I said. And I looked at her and I said, swaddling clothes in the Bible. She said, not mine. I said, rag. She said, oh, see. And boy, she went off again. I don't know if she said what I said, but it worked. Amen. But he said, this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, notice this, there was angels everywhere. Amen. Now, these dudes are in a cave. They're sleeping for the night. They got a fire built in the opening so the sheep can't get out and the wolves can't get in. And that way they can sleep all night. I can see somebody right now. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Now, I've actually been there and been in the caves. Hello? That's how they did it back then. And all of a sudden, this angel comes through the fire and goes, hey, don't get scared, guys. I'm not here to rob you. I come to bring you good tidings of great joy. Amen. They get up, knees past the fire, and get outside. And when they get outside, the sky's full of people going, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Amen. I got a feeling that dude talking to him just jumped out of the choir to come tell him. He went and got back in and hit a high note on the last couple of notes. Amen. It's my story. Glory. What did we learn from this? First of all, notice the providence of God. Romans 8:8. So that when they were yet in the flesh, they could not please God. While we're living without salvation, there's no way to please God. Because the natural side of man controls you, and the natural side of man is never going to follow God. Amen. But if you get saved and washed in the blood of Calvary, amen. Oh, he was a great teacher. Let me tell you something. If all we needed was information, God would have sent us an educator. If all we needed was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If all we needed was money, God could have sent us an economist. If all we needed was pleasure, God could have sent us an entertainer. But we didn't need all that. We were lost. We were undone. We had no option. Man had been pulled away from God by sin in the Garden of Eden. And if by one man sin into the world, how much more shall in one man's righteousness all shall then be redeemed? We needed a redeemer. We needed somebody that could bring us back to God. We needed a Savior. And thank God that little baby came and he walked in this world without sin. And he died on the cross without sin. And he came forth out of the grave because there wasn't nothing to hold him there. The Bible said, I lay down my life for my friends, and because he lay it down, he picked it back up, and he come out of the grave and he said, I am he that was dead, yet now I'm alive, and I'm going to live forevermore. And because of that, I've got hope today. Because of that, I've got a peace in my heart. Because of that, I've got joy to know that no matter what happens, forever and forever and forever in him, I can live. Woo. In his birth, it's my significance. In his life is my example. In his death is my atonement. But in his resurrection is my hope. Hallelujah. And because of that, I understand that if he had not come, I wouldn't have nothing to look forward to, but because he did come. Come on, church. Amen. I'm kind of like the Magi. When they came to the king, said, where is the one born to the king of the Jews? Notice they didn't say, is he born? Can you prove it? Man, they came looking for the guy because they knew. There was faith in their voice. They understood what they were looking for. They just needed to find him. Hello? They said, we've come a long way. We've been following that star. We just want to know where he's at. Glory. But notice this. They also had the wisdom to know once they found him to go another way on. And I'll be honest with you, if you come searching for him tonight, when you find him, you'll leave a different way from the way you came. Because he'll change your life. No one's ever come in contact with this child that he didn't change him forever. Hallelujah. Stand with me all over the house. Amen. If Jesus had not come, first of all, we'd never know we were wrong. If Jesus hadn't come, we wouldn't have peace that passed all understanding. If Jesus had not come, we wouldn't have an opportunity for life like we've never had it before. If Jesus had not come, we would all be lost and undone without God. Our hope would be in a law and the fulfillment of that law. And as was proven by so many in the Old Testament, it was very hard to live the way you had to live to make it. But thank God. I'm not going to make it because of who I am. I'm going to make it because of who he is. And because I have believed in him and my sins are given up. And because I go for him. Let me tell you something, church, and this is important. I was talking to a young man this week, and he was asking questions because he was seriously seeking some answers. He said, preacher, if I sell out to God, he going to get me out of here? I said, can't promise that, son. He said, well, why would I want him then? I said, because if you'll seek him and fall in love with him, quit worrying about whether you're going to get out of here or anything else going to work out. Just fall in love with him. See, it's not about what he can do for you. It's about him. See, we miss it. We want him when we need something. We want him when we need help, when we need a financial blessing, when we need to be healed, we need something from him. But the scriptures have always said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all other things will take care of themselves. When you really get right with God, it's not a matter of whether you get out. It's a matter of the peace that gets in your heart right where you are. Holman Prison. Used to have opportunity every once in a while to go down there and be in church service. Brother Tommy and Brother Albert and different ones would go in down there every week, and I'd get the chance to go be with them, and they'd lock you up with them people. That's kind of strange. I mean, let's face it. All of them in there is in there for life. And most of them in the part we were in there waiting on that yellow chair down at the end of the hall to sit down in it and take their turn to leave here. And if they did something to you, there wasn't a whole lot they could do to them because they already was headed toward that chair. And one thing they tell you if you're going to work jail ministry, don't ever ask somebody what they did. Because if they tell you, ain't no way you can keep from having some kind of look on your face. Well, I had not been privy to that information at the moment. And I sat down, this big black dude sat down beside me and said, man, what you in for? He said, I killed a family. I said, the whole family? He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, well, they come home. I got up, walked off. The other guys grabbed me and said, what's wrong with you, man? You're white. I said, dude, he killed a family. He said, well, he ain't as bad as some of them in here. And I'm going, get me out of here. You know, I finally made it back, but the idea was it just caught me off guard. I later found out what happened was he actually did. He was robbing their house. They came home, and so. He killed him for coming home. But I met a gentleman, and that's what brought me to the story. He was the last man put in an electric chair in the state of Alabama. He led the praise and worship at the worship services every Monday night. I wish I could have been there, but I heard the tape. Elbert's promised me a copy of that tape, and every time I talk to him, he says, I'm going to get you a copy. I'm going to find it, but he's moved two or three times, and he's, like me, ain't sure where it's at. On Monday night, before he was killed on Thursday night in the electric chair, He was leading the praise and worship. And he stopped. And he said, I know what you're thinking. He said, y'all not worshiping because you're worried about me. He said, guys, look, I killed those people. I'm guilty. I made things right with God. Thursday night, I'm going to make things right with man. Now, if you've paid attention to what we've been trying to tell you, you're going to see me over on the other side, and I'm going to be happy. That's all he had to say. Thursday night, they set him in the chair. He looked into the room to some of the family members who was there to watch and said, I apologize for being the hoodlum I was in this world. And I thank God for giving me. And now with my death, I ask you to forgive me. And they hit him. He left this world. But he left this world knowing I'm going to live forever. He would have never had that hope if Jesus hadn't come.
He said, preacher, I'm not that bad, but it doesn't matter. You don't have hope
unless the fact that that baby came, that he lived in this world, and he died for you and I. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight, God, for your word, for your blessings, for your power, for your anointing. Father God, I believe you to reach down and touch this house with your glory. Father, minister to us tonight. Lord, in your heart, touch someone tonight to make us realize where we are, where we're headed, what's going to happen in our life if we don't really turn ourselves over to you and let you take full control.